Public Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Ken, if you could get clip 12 queued up, it's about witches. I just played that song. Start us off here. I'm going to go into this article a little bit. Now, Broward County, that's, I believe, where Parkland is, right? Broward County. Sheriff Scott Israel. And I just happened to see this. The West celebrates birthday of a communist terrorist, Nelson Mandela, who's been made a saint, almost MLK level, Martin Luther King level, who had a lot of shady communist and Jesuit connections. The Jesuit researchers throw shade on the Jewish side, and then the Jewish researchers. They don't really cover some of these radical priests that were around Martin Luther King, but there was plenty of both around him, and it was all radical Marxist garbage. Same with Rosa Parks, who got to lay in state in the rotunda of the Capitol Dome. Remember that? And basically, these people were radical Marxists. All went to that certain school that I can't remember off the top of my head, learning this garbage. Broward County, though, I find that fascinating. And it shows up. This is up on Macau's website, Henry Macau West. Nelson Mandela, 100 years. Okay, communism is a ruse. It's not concerned with genuine reform, but with creating and exploiting social divisions in order to seize power. And look what Obama and the rest of his gang did as soon as they get in. They went and exploited social divisions with the Trayvon, Mike Brown, all that other stuff that we were talking with Chris. And it's got a bunch of links here to various articles and so forth. Nelson Mandela received weapons training from Mossad in 1962. That was on The Guardian. Mandela was a communist terrorist and a murderer. Mandela is the author of How to Be a Good Communist. And so basically, let's get into this here. During the 60s and 70s, and barely a week went by in South Africa without terrorism, dynamite at a fuel depot, a car bomb outside the Air Force headquarters in a city center. The ANC's guerrilla force, known simply as MK, or more formally as Umkhonto Wesizwe, translated Spear of the Nation, was founded in 61 by Nelson Mandela and his handler, the communist Jew Joe Slovo. At first, the targets were infrastructure, but 2 days later, MK was killing civilians without compunction. Grenades would be bowled into a hamburger joint or tripwired Lempert mine planted in an arcade, and Mandela did not object. Notable among these attacks were the January 82 attack on the Coburg nuclear power plant near Cape Town, which just shows you, if you're willing to attack a nuclear power plant, you really don't care about anybody, because if there's a meltdown or something of that nature, you're going to kill thousands and thousands. All right. Mandela was posing as a farmhand, okay, when he was seized in a raid at MK headquarters at a farm outside Johannesburg. The farm was purchased and run by a Jewish communist, Arthur Goldrich. All right. And it goes on to the story, but just how the West celebrates these commies as some sort of folk heroes and so forth and so on, just like they did with Castro, freedom fighter Castro, Time Magazine, you know, all that garbage. So let's get into this whole thing. I played that song, My Mother Was a Witch, and that was by Diamond Head, by the way. But this is off of I'm going to play a couple clips off of this YouTube channel, Shattered Paradise. They've been doing some excellent work, Shattered Paradise. And remember the stuff I played last week about Asia Argento and Anthony Bourdain and that Amber Tamblyn and Hillary Clinton sending her a letter that said, with best regards, I am, and all that garbage. And then Amber Tamblyn's talking about the world's witches need to put their most potent spells around this Bourdain's girlfriend, Argento, after his death, his untimely and very weird death. And it got into this whole kind of witch, Hollywood witch thing, and kind of like this hissy fit, the entire kind of female witchery wing of the entertainment industry went into when their fellow traveler, their fellow broom rider, Hillary, did not capture the White House. And then this evil white male misogynist figure, Trump, got in there. You know, and this is what where you get into, you know, where, remember, FDR, presidents are selected, they're not elected. But sometimes, man, even though the world, the evil system on the planet had it in the tank for a certain individual, you get into the scriptures, God's in ultimate control of who occupies what, especially when it comes to government. And so let's roll clip 12. You got 12 ready, Ken? All right. Oh, there we go.
Celebrities, politicians joining the many women's marches.
Witches have always been somewhat feminist.
But an increasing number of millennials are inclined to believe in astrology and to some extent also witchcraft.
Why do we have so many people today on drugs? Well, let me tell you why they're on drugs. They're on drugs because they've got nothing else.
As the students waited for campus police to arrive, witnesses can be heard on the video saying Kane had told them he'd taken LSD and needed help.
Sorceries, the ancient Greek word it's translated from, is pharmakia. And this is where we get the word pharmacy. 2,000 years ago, pharmakia was connected with sorcery, was connected with witchcraft, was connected with the occult world. This is why the word pharmakia is translated sorceries.
We live in a culture today that has completely turned its back on God and is mocking God, making fun of him and saying, we're going to do it our way, whether you like it or not.
Witches have always been somewhat feminist.
Witches are what men like Donald Trump are afraid of.
Witches. The word alone immediately conjures up certain images in our minds. But what does it really mean to be a witch today? It seems that a growing number of young women and some men are being drawn to a brand of witchcraft, and it's political.
I use the term witch to describe myself. I usually cite the acronym Woman in Total Control of Herself. I practice witchcraft. I pull tarot cards. I have crystals everywhere. I make shrines. I cast spells. I meditate. But it's sort of a political distinction, and I think it like speaks to my radical feminism.
Both male and female witches are studying the craft under a longtime Salem witch and clairvoyant, Lorelei. You'll notice a significant difference in how the more traditional witches look and practice.
I'm what you call a natural witch. I started at about 12. My mother practiced. The thing about the new word feminist, it's a great thing, but it's something that we've been doing for years. So we're maybe a little different than the younger generation. We may not be as hardcore. I still want a gentleman to open the door for me.
Mail order magic, the rise of subscription witchcraft. So anyone who wants to be a witch can now get monthly subscriptions of these witchcraft boxes that has candles and crystals and incense and regents, all these different herbs, depending on what type of spell you want to cast. Now in theaters is this anime film called Mary and the Witch's Flower. And this film tells a story of a girl named Mary who finds this mysterious flower that can give her power to become a witch for only one night. She wanders the grounds of her aunt's estate.
All right, we're going to go ahead and stop it there.
Magic in the form.
But basically, and you heard there were some pauses there where there was music playing and so forth and so on. But they were showing images of like these women's marches where there's all this overlap with this pussy hat kind of crowd. And then these radical, rabid, man-hating types. And they're being cocktailed in here with this new age kind of witchcraft garbage. Okay. And this is basically, this is another element of this hate for this basically white male power figure in the White House right now. It was like they had it right at, it's like they had the ball on the 1 yard line and, you know, 2 seconds left and they had the star running back and the star quarterback in. And then they snap, and somehow they fumbled, and the ball got ran back, and there was a touchdown, and they lost the game. I mean, I'm just using this football analogy because that's what popped into my head. But this is like to the normal, like dumbed down, you know, person that buys into all this garbage. This is what happened, and this is this whole derangement syndrome. You know, you saw this stuff with Whoopi and Judge Pirro. This meltdown. And, you know, one thing that I noticed that probably a lot of other people didn't notice, when Whoopi said, you talk about this deep state, how old is this deep state? And then Pirro tried to dodge that question and go at her from another direction. And so there was, I would like to hear some of these Fox News personalities. When you talk deep state, okay, what is it? How long has it been there? Because I would sure just bust out, with some answers. But a lot of these people, they know they can just use these generic terms. Oh, deep state, blah, 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 blah. Now that you're talking about Peter Strzok and Comey and all these other, you know, people, Brennan and Clapper and all these other, you know, apparatchiks that were in the kind of and look, the richest counties in the United States, I've talked about this numerous times, surround D.C., okay, the richest counties. So when you talk about cutting the size of government, nobody that lives around in these counties want to hear that. Okay. And so you've got a whole mob of people that are making six figures, multiple six figures, that their lives, well, what they look at is their livelihoods depend on this big bloated bureaucracy being there. And so you got a whole lot of people willing to kill to keep this gravy train rolling. All right. Now, which brings me to, Ken, let's get this started. Peter Schiff and Joe Rogan. Okay. Clip 11. Now, we've got three segments out of this clip. Three short little segments that I'm going to play. Peter Schiff, we all know who he is, son of Irwin Schiff, who died, I think, being a prisoner of the federal government. Jewish guy, kind of a gold-pushing libertarian. But this was a good program with Rogan the other day. So let's play the first part of 2506, Ken.
Short run, Americans are just putting everything on a credit card, right? We're living a higher standard of living because we can consume what we didn't make. But when you do that, you become poorer. See, America used to be the richest creditor nation in the world, right? The world owed us a lot of money. Today, we're the world's biggest debtor nation. How did we go from being the biggest creditor to the biggest debtor? It was trade deficits. Every year, we keep borrowing money to consume. And what this has done is this has turned a rich nation into a poor nation. But we just don't live like a poor nation yet because we're still borrowing. Yeah, and you could be a rich individual, yet maintain a rich lifestyle on debt. But eventually, you know, their debt's going to catch up with you, and then your lifestyle's going to come crashing down. And this is what's going to happen. But what we should do, instead of having a crisis imposed on us globally with a crisis in the dollar and a crisis in our bond market, we should do it ourselves. We should set these forces in motion ourselves. So what we have to do is shrink government, right? We have to, you know, cut a lot of government spending, get rid of a lot of government agencies and departments to get government out of the way so we can lower taxes legitimately. And then we have to allow the Federal Reserve to let the market set interest rates. Interest rates have to be much higher than they are now, right? Because that's going to encourage people to save. If interest rates are high, you'll put your money in the bank to earn that high rate of interest. When money goes into a bank, it can get loaned out to businesses. Right now, all that money is going to government or it's in the corporate, you know, bond market where it's not growing the economy, or you know, the money is being used to finance stock buybacks. We need money on Main Street financing capital formation.
All right, let's stop it there.
Entrepreneurship, you know, and new businesses, ahead, new jobs.
Ken, go ahead and stop it and forward it to 1 hour and 10 minutes in. Now you see Schiff, and that's why I set this up, because what happened to those Republicans from the 90s that talked about stopping the growth of government? What happened to all those Gingrich Republican Revolution guys? This Leviathan's grown to the point where none of these guys even talk about slashing the size of government. And look what I said. The richest counties in the United States surround D.C. When you talk about abolishing entire agencies, think about all those people that you got to move around somewhere else or pink slip them. But the federal government was never supposed to get this huge. Now, I know it has to be bigger than, let's say, look, it has to be a certain size, because now you've got these other countries in the world. The Pandora's box was opened. Now you've got other countries in the world technologically and so forth and so on, that if we went back to constitutional size right off the bat, it would start a chain reaction that I don't know if any of us know where it would end. You know what I mean? And I know we're coming up on another break. So I don't want to play that second segment. Ken, if you would just want to hold that second segment right where we're at for when we come back. But this is the conundrum, because – oh, okay. That's fine. So we're going to roll through it. So, Ken, but here's the thing. We're in a conundrum because like all of us that are like RBN listeners want to see the federal government shrink dramatically because it's way bigger – than anybody ever designed it to be. or intended it to be. The problem is, how do you do it causing the least amount of disruption and pain possible to these people that are addicted, job-wise and goodies-wise and so forth and so on, and to start turning this thing backwards. You know, I got into it with some of my relatives, you know, when we're talking about things political, and I'm like, well, look, if you jump in and the captain of the Titanic has a heart attack, and so you're the guy that jumps in and you get the wheel, or you get to make the call, you can't turn the ship on a 45-degree angle, unfortunately, you know, on a dime. And that's the way the ship of state is as well. You can't just, you know, everybody's got the answers. Abolish the Fed right off the flip. Do this, this, and this. But, I mean, think about what the gangsters that own the Fed, these Class A stockholders, these mystical people from, you know, a lot of them from Europe and a lot of them here in these Jewish banking houses and so forth, what they would unleash for something like that. You would almost have to have a military occupation force ready to seize a bunch of these people's assets and bodies so they couldn't unleash this tsunami of retaliation that would probably put us into complete Road Warrior, Mad Max, who knows what. And so, I mean, we got to think about things like that realistically. We all talk on RBN and all the listeners, and we all got the answers, but it's like, man, I've kind of tried to war game this out over some years, and I'm like, you come to realize it's like, you look at the way that this media can be sicked on an individual, and then you realize, my gosh, these people can tear anybody apart very, very quickly. And so I don't know. There probably is no definitive answer, but let's keep moving. Let's play that second part at 1 hour and 10 minutes.
The economy is in bad shape because of all the government. That's what went back to the Occupy Wall Street, is that the people are protesting because there's serious problems in the country. They don't realize that it's not capitalism that is creating those problems. Capitalism would solve those problems. It's government interference that is causing the problems that they're protesting. And so the same thing with these socialists, that they understand that their standard of living is falling. Right? Look at, like, one of the things they want to do is they want to give free education, right? Because the liberals are all complaining about the fact that college is so expensive and that students have so much debt. That's because of government. Before the government got involved, college was cheap. I mean, government drove up the cost of college by guaranteeing student loans. I mean, that's how the government got the votes of students. They promised the students something for nothing. They said, hey, vote for me, and I'll guarantee – I'll make it easier for you to get a loan to go to college. Right? Well, the minute colleges knew that people could get these loans, they started jacking up the tuition so they could benefit from all this government money. So the colleges benefited, the banking system benefited by making riskless loans that the taxpayer was on the hook for. But the byproduct of all this cheap money being funneled at the colleges was that the colleges kept raising the tuition higher and higher and higher. And then the politicians kept increasing the amount of loans they would subsidize. And so all of this is the fault of government. The government created the problem that they're now complaining about. But, you know, the students don't understand college.
And then move on to that last part at 128 with 14 seconds. Now, I've talked about this ad nauseum. And let me tell you some more alarming stuff. So I personally know some folks. They went all the way up to master's level with student loans. All right. So they took this loan out from Uncle Sam. Now, certain people, and I don't know if this is demographics or some sort of racial set aside or what, but now some folks are going after this student loan debt forgiveness type of avenues. So let's see here. You got person A and person B. Person A is like, you know what? The borrower is slave to the lender. I don't want to get involved with taking a loan out from the government that I might not be able to pay back, that this interest rate, it's outside of bankruptcy and all this stuff. So I'm not going to worry about getting a degree right here. And then this other person jumps right in, no financial care in the world, racks up $70,000, $100,000 worth of debt, gets a master's in some goofy field like psychology or sociology or some crap. So they're sitting here with a master's. They're ahead of person A. And then on top of that, they go digging around and they find a way to get their student loans forgiven. So they got a freebie from this rotten government. They get a leg up. They get advantage over person A that decided not to take the loan out because it's just probably not the right thing to do to take a loan out from the government. This government that gasses people and gives them syphilis, nuclear bombs, people in the Pacific Islands. And so then person B that took the loan, then they get their student loans forgiven. Everything's hunky-dory with them, and they ended up ahead in life because of it. I mean, the whole system is communist sickness. It's twisted. It's evil. And people just look for a way to scam the system, and then they end up scamming the system, and they get off on their debt. So the government and all of us had to take it on the chin for this person to fast track themselves to get a degree, and then they might somewhere down the line get their loans forgiven. How do you like that? What kind of country is that? All right, let's play the last part.
You know, so I mean, I don't feel badly that, you know, some of these guys lucked into having a lot of money, or
this is about
luck, or they took a shot and it paid off, right? They got in, and you know, and the market exploded, and they have an opportunity to cash out at a profit. But a lot of them are not cashing out. I think they're gonna go down with the ship. But
when you say that, you think it's going down?
Oh yeah, because it's not going to succeed as money. It's not going to work. It's just a highly speculative asset, you know. And the last time I did your show, I mean, a lot of people are, you know, what Peter Schiff got wrong on Joe Rogan about, you know, Bitcoin. I mean, everybody thinks I don't understand it, and that's why I don't believe in it. It's because I do understand it that I don't believe it. The people who think it's going to work, they may understand the technology, but they don't understand money. But when I talk to these people, to me, you know, it's very much, you know, like a cult. I mean, they believe so strongly in this. They're so caught up in the hype and the hysteria, and maybe they're blinded by the money they think they're going to make, you know, when this, you know, these things are $1 million a piece or wherever they believe they're going.
Yeah, that's what they think it's going to. They think it's going to go to $1 million.
Well, there was an article last week. Some guy was saying $100 million. $100 million of Bitcoin. You know, that's why nobody wants to sell, right? But the smart people are selling. The people that got in early are trying to con people into holding on so that they can get out.
$100 million? They're talking about $100 million, and it's basically some numbers on – did they ever figure out who that Satoshi Ishii guy is?
No, just Satoshi Nakamura.
No, Satoshi Nakamura. Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know why the guy hasn't come forward, if it's a guy at all.
Someone said that they think it's Elon Musk.
I don't know. Whoever it is, you figure they've got a lot of Bitcoin.
If they're a real person. I mean, it might be a group of people.
But, of course, now it's not just Bitcoin, right? There's 1,500 to 2,000 of these other cryptocurrencies.
Well, not just that. There's a bunch of different ones, right? There's just different variants.
Yeah, and that's part of the problem because they think, oh, there's 21 million Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
And they think that that means they're scarce. Well, they're not scarce. There's so many other currencies out there, and it's only scarce because – it's coded to be scarce. Gold is scarce because it really is scarce.
Yeah.
You know, Bitcoin is scarce because they decided to make it scarce. But it's not scarce in that there's nothing that any other cryptocurrency can't do that Bitcoin is doing. I mean,
but they're looking at it as an alternative, not to gold, but to the currency that we currently use.
That's just another view on the cryptos. See you guys on the other side. Last half hour coming up.
We got You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Coming up
And we've got Pat Privilege on the line. I haven't talked to Pat live in a while. We talk off the air all the time. So come on up, Pat. Greetings, sir.
Hey, Robert. Thanks for having me on.
You there? All right. Well, he just dropped. Yeah, just let me know when he's back. Let me get into this real quick. This is like the kind of stuff that gets people all geeked up. Top 50 articles on Before It's News. Deep state takedown. Deep state takedown. Military tribunals. Reality is coming. Videos. John Rawls. New report. Lisa Page. They're going to kill Trump. Darkest secret of the Vatican. Mark Taylor prophecy. July 22, 2018. Be prepared. This big blood moon thing. And Obama's going to be in prison for treason. Trump's got all FISA warrants, treason. Tom Hennigan. Trump has just been given the server. SB2 decodes Q1675. Trump has just given the server Project Weeping Angel, blah, blah, blah. It's really bad, folks. House Intel Committee released classified memo without redaction. So, I mean, this whole ratcheting up of the this whole thing where you got, you know, the good guys embedded down here warring with the bad guys. And you look, I've wanted this to happen since day one. I hope it's real. I don't want to be a pessimist. I want, like, hardcore patriots that still love Washington and, you know, the founding of the country and, you know, limited government and all that stuff, the, you know, traditional Americana stuff. I want these guys to fight these dirtbag Marxist freaks that have been embedding themselves in all of our institutions, Hollywood, news, music, freaking government, academia, fake academia, all of it. I hate all these creeps that want to overthrow our you know Americana system and put us into some freaking collectivist, you know, DARPA matrix nightmare. Let's see here. I wanted to get into this. We got Pat back yet? Okay, no problem. Let's get clip two queued up. I wanted to get this one in. And this was off of this guy, Blackpilled. And I sent them an email over there. I'm going to try to get an interview with one of these folks. They've been doing some really good videos. Let's roll clip two.
We have a problem on the right. And who would have thought that it would take the defense of pedophiles to finally shine a light on it? For decades, the establishment right has done nothing but lose ground. They say that they would rather take the high road and slowly commit suicide than take the low road and win. And before anyone decides to congratulate this merry band of self-righteous losers and their bedfellows, the controlled opposition, who have convinced some people that they are sticking with their principles, let's once and for all call these ineffectual and hapless do-nothing parasites out for the traitors that they are, as they have now purity spiraled into the indefensible position of defending pedophiles. Mike Cernovich revealed this week that Hollywood director James Gunn, who worked for Disney, had been tweeting pro-pedophile comments openly on Twitter for nearly a decade. In a quite frankly stunning move, Disney, who had fired Roseanne just a few weeks ago for just making a joke about Valerie Jarrett, caved to the pressure and fired James Gunn, who was the director of Guardians of the Galaxy and also worked on some Marvel films. Now, amazingly, or not so amazingly if you've been paying close enough attention to these people, the establishment right began to defend James Gunn, not Mike Cernovich, who had outed the pedophile language that is so bad I can't even put it in the video. But I'm sure you can find it with a quick search if you don't believe me. It's bad. They came to the defense of James Gunn. The same James Gunn who said that when Roseanne had been fired, by the way, that she had deserved what she got. So before you feel bad for James Gunn, just know that he supported the exact same thing happening to Roseanne for a whole hell of a lot less. Now, it turns out the establishment right, the people funded by billionaires in an effort to keep you boxed in a controlled narrative on both sides, you know, people like Ben Shapiro, agreed with James Gunn when he said that Roseanne should have been fired. So surely if these people are sticking to their principles, if Roseanne should be fired for making fun of the way Valerie Jarrett looks, then clearly James Gunn should be fired for talking about raping children, right? I mean, if they're sticking to their principles, right? No, they don't. Because these so-called conservatives that tell you that the reason they keep losing is because they are standing on principle have finally been exposed as the frauds they really are. They have broadcast to the world what they really stand for. They stand for the interests of the billionaires they work for. The billionaires that had decided this man, who had spoke openly and often about pedophilia, should be making children's movies. You see, when Roseanne was getting fired, it was the free market responding to her comments. But not when it happened to their guy. No, that was a witch hunt. Not only does this expose the frauds like Ben Shapiro and all the others like him that get pushed on the mainstream billionaire media, but this also exposes the fatal flaw of the naive that follow them. The naive cuckservatives that aren't just bringing a knife to a gunfight. They don't even acknowledge that the fight's even happening. Almost everyone agrees, or at least has heard it said, that all is fair in love and war. The problem is, the left has been at war, and the establishment right neither loves you, nor will they acknowledge that we are at war. The left shows up prepared for war, while the right shows up prepared for debate club. There are different rules of engagement for different situations, and the cucks that follow the bought and paid for establishment sheep herders need to understand that while it's not okay to punch below the belt while in the boxing ring, fighting someone that's you know, playing by the same rules with an unbiased referee standing by to break it up if things get too rough, that anything goes if the opponent is trying to kill you. If you get attacked in some dark alleyway by some guy wielding a lead pipe or something, you're not going to think twice about, oh, should I punch them below the belt? And if you do, you're not going to live very long. You have to not only match the viciousness of your opponent, but exceed it if you want to survive. And every time the right hesitates to play the same game by the same rules, it's a dereliction of duty that amounts to suicide. And for the mascots of the billionaires themselves, it's nothing short of cold, calculated murder. For Black Bill, I'm Devinston.
Yeah, just like a great, great video right there, Black Pilled. But this is why the country, this is why Europe is flooded with idiots. This is why our immigration policies are wrecked in all the basically majority white countries. Right there, he gave it to you. We got Pat back. Come on back up, Pat.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Sorry, the phone crashed.
All right.
Yeah,
what you got?
Your guy there. Well, tonight, I was just calling in also because it's been so long. I've been listening to your show, and I just wanted to thank you for, you know, all the years you put in. I've been following you for well over 4 or 5 years now, and it's been great. I think I've caught every single one. But as far as James Gunn, it almost, the whole situation that the Black Pill brought up begs Machiavelli courting with the Vatican, does it not, Medici?
Yeah. I mean, it's a trip that, I mean, these people like Shapiro and the rest of them, it's the free market when Roseanne gets thrown under the bus. But then, yeah, I mean, that guy really nailed it. And this is why.
But
this
you
is
see
why
where Paul, he says, you have to,
go ahead.
He's talking about basically the being wise as serpents. You have to exceed their force, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's
but how do you stay innocent as a dove?
Well, that's the conundrum is to it's just like to look at, like Jones talks about it, to look at basically the monstrosity of evil and learn evil's machinations without it turning you, like, to use the Star Wars analogy, to the dark side.
Don't have hate. And also, it almost seems like Trump is appearing to pull a Teddy Roosevelt-style, you know, spending policy, which could be for the better more than the worse, and similar to how, you know, the 30s Germany grew so much when they actually, you know, nationalized everything.
Well, you know, that Versailles Treaty put Germany to the point where, you know, it was – and a lot of the hardcore, like, 30 years war type researchers, they say that that was done to Germany on purpose because they didn't get the desired result out of World War One, which was the League of Nations. It failed. So the Versailles Treaty was already there to hamstring Germany to the point of basically making them snap into World War Two. You know, there's that whole swing, you know, plethora of researchers.
And then potentially the U.S. will fall as Germany did, maybe. Who knows? But going back to Peter Schiff earlier.
Yeah.
It's funny that Bitcoin is bouncing tonight just for a short-term rally, and he's also interested in doing his Bit Gold, right? Like, he's got his gold money. He's trying to use blockchain technology to benefit, you know, the technocracy rising potentially that could be spread everywhere. But the thing he also avoids is the whole third party. You know, he's got to watch the gold. What's going to happen, you know, in a central controlled gold?
Well, I saw him had that gold, actual gold credit card. That he was
right.
Passing around to Rogan. So there's this gold money thing that shifts into where it's actually he had this 24-carat credit card made out of pure gold.
I don't want to get stuck on that, though, but I thought it was fascinating when you talked about the minimum wage and how I think unfettered capitalism leads to monopoly. But what the left always means is that communism leads to the monopolist gaining the power because they have the leverage. Just like Amazon pays less than the post office to send packages, right? And Walmart undermines all local businesses because of their subsidies. And what's hilarious is that you just have to stop with Bastiat and Payne. All you need is the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, and don't touch me, I don't touch you.
Well, listen. You get into the history with some of the founders. They controlled this stuff through corporate charters, so they wouldn't let these people have an open-ended corporate charters. They would only give them a charter for a corporation for so long of a period of time, and then it would be over. And so we could look at, you know, regulating, you know, like to stop monopolies through kind of that avenue. Rather than, you know, busting things up and blah, 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 just don't let these corporations exist for, you know, a certain amount of time and kind of limiting some of that. Now, I know that through the lawyers and the bar, you got to reorganize that whole side of the judicial. Yeah, that whole side of the house has to be blown up and then reorganized as well.
But something he brought up about the minimum wage that I think a lot of people miss isn't just that the employer now has to pay the $7 worker retard the same as his $20 worker. Not only is that a problem, or that, you know, and I don't mean retard in the sense that he brought up on the John Stewart show where he was actually talking about mentally challenged people who could maybe do remedial jobs as well and then, you know, get at least some kind of compensation, or an intern worker who has to work for free just because it's the legal ramifications. But minimum wage also only benefits the big corporations who can afford to pay, and then what do they do? They outsource their work anyway, and then they, you know, move to technocracy. You know, again, when you got robotics and everything taking everybody's jobs, the small businesses die because they can't compete. They can't afford to pay their workers a certain level just to come in with the new product, with the new competitive advantage that they've created on a small scale to then scale up. They can't ever do that because there's this glass ceiling of a minimum wage just for immediately before you've got any regulation.
Yeah. I mean, trying to tinker with all of that, prevailing wage, minimum wage, benefits, you know, think about how all those companies started just topping everybody out at 32 hours with the Obamacare thing. They, you know, business is going to do what it has to do. And then unfortunately, the little guy suffers first, you know, that and then things get passed on to the consumer, you know, all kinds of different things.
Actually, my second job in college, that's the first problem I ran into, was I had to hold two jobs because my first one wouldn't give me more than 32 hours.
Yep. Yeah, man, it's a trip. I got one more caller, but anything else you got? What do you think about this? What do you think about this complete, you know, meltdown of the media with Trump and Russia? I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
It begs that Trump was meant to throw the election to Hillary, and he just went completely rogue. That's all it says to me.
That's an interesting angle. Yeah.
And
maybe he went into it. Maybe he went into it making those promises that he was going to end up, you know, falling on his sword for Hillary later on down, you know, in the debate kind of time period or something of that nature. And he's like, screw it.
But there's a Kabod Lubavitch faction who doesn't give a crap about Hillary or the EU or the. Or the globalists, in a certain sense, they're more interested in what? You know, the state of Israel, Zionism, and that has created its own dog on a new leash that maybe the Vatican Yiddish empires weren't ready for.
Yeah, I mean that's another way to look at it with Jared and that inroads into Trump's family and the embassy move, the Christian kind of Zionist kufi. Attachment to some of the Kabbalah
like
elements. Yeah.
It's like Aikido. You develop this Zionist faction in order to guilt or mobilize the Christian sympathy. And then like judo, you take that energy and momentum and turn it back against them in a new way.
Yeah, I mean it's pretty fascinating.
That's the completely reaching, far reaching optimist.
Yeah, and then after that happens, BB and the wife get brought up on some charges in Israel. That's kind of a fascinating twist.
But we have to remember, like you said, when the communists start getting picked up because, you know, say Trump has some great success and everything, and the country starts to spill over to the witches a little bit and he has to clean it up, who knows who goes missing? We always have to remember these things. That's where you're innocent as a dove and wise as a serpent, as you spoke.
Yeah, that's my worry is let's say there are some hardcore good elements that do try to, let's just say, the seditionist, treasonous elements that are out here in our streets that try to start putting the kibosh on some of that, some of the other wings, the John Brennan wings of the CIA and you know, the rest of those guys, Clapper and Brennan and that other creepy looking former CIA director, that General Hayden, all those guys, Michael Morrell, they could do their own, go into the mattresses mode, to quote the Godfathers, and start really taking their you know, tolls out on people on our side. So it could be like,
but
this,
at the same, we have to wonder if he did go rogue, how does he remain innocent as a dove? This is the Medici courting with Machiavelli that I was speaking of, is that the good powers potentially that may still be remnant, you know, what are they doing to actually exceed the viciousness of the evil? Is this what's happening, or again, is this a facade? I don't know. This is why we have to tease out all the details, and your show is the absolute best at it.
Right on, Pat. Thanks for calling in, man. I'll talk to you soon. I'm going to take this last caller.
Yes, sir. Have a good night.
All right, buddy. Thanks for staying up. Let's take Murr in Wisconsin. And Murr, you can finish up the show. We got about 4 or 5 minutes. What do you got?
Thank you, Robert. Well, I had to see if I can get the three little things here. Well, first off, I was thinking it's actually harmless, not innocent, but etymology is basically the same thing, so,
yeah,
which is interesting. But we have a full moon with an eclipse coming up on the 27th. It's the full buck moon. Buck moon, as in dollar, perchance?
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and that's the end of the BRICS thing in South Africa. And, you know, if there were to be a reset, and maybe even a global reset, and get rid of usury, wouldn't that be a hallelujah? It could all happen over a long weekend.
My problem is, if there's a reset, my sneaking, like, sinking premonition, it's Mark of the Beast, unfortunately, if there's a reset.
Yeah, you know.
just in the times we're in and where we're at, like a timeline spiritually, where, like, the plan, I think, unfortunately, if there's a reset pulled, a hardcore one, I think the next thing coming our way is electronic imprint in us somewhere, a tracking system, the whole deal, in our bodies.
You know, but there's this thing, the golden rule, right? And the law and the prophets, hang on that. So what does that mean? You know, do we have to live out this prophecy, or is it through intention? Because there's a lot of people, I think, repenting and really trying to get things right. But I wanted to touch on this Secret Service agent that the cerebrovascular accident on the 15th in Scotland. When
the possible food taster.
Well, the ultralight flew over. Okay, and he was hit on the 15th or whatever happened on the 15th. He didn't die till the 17th, and they gave his name out, Noel E. Remigen, two young children. He was 42. But here's the thing. Now, Q goes silent whenever Trump was traveling, and it was surmised perhaps it was the Secret Service. And I'm wondering if it might not be him. He was 42. A lot of the references were White Squall, a 1996 movie that was not Jew, and it flopped, of course, because it was not a Jew movie. But one of the things was Where We Go One, We Go All came from there. There were several different references.
Mm-hmm.
But so I don't know. We'll see. But
you think possibly that Secret Service guy that died in Scotland might have been one of the Q droppers?
Yeah, that just hit me tonight, and I started looking at White Squall, and, you know, he would have been 20, and they were all about 20, and all this stuff is, you know, a lot of this stuff is from there. But I think it was a real positive thing, and I think he was, you know, they were watching to see who it was, and it might be they purposely took him out from that drone or ultralight, whatever it was, you know.
Yeah,
it would be
another,
easy
enough
to
do. Another place I was reading, it said that guy might have been Trump's food taster, so.
Yeah. Well, that would be basically the same thing, you know.
Interesting. Yeah.
And that's just kind of a nice little, they like, it's kind of a Jew term. They like to throw it in there and, like, laugh in your face.
Yeah.
You know, I think Trump is doubling down now on the Fed again, too. I think if this is the case, this has just made him all the more determined. Sure, he's going to say, yeah, would, wouldn't, whatever, you know, turn out the lights and shoot here in front of everybody. You know, stay alive, man. I was around when Kennedy was killed and all the rest of them. And the Jews went hog wild. I want to see this president stay alive.
Well, I do too. And I, you know, whatever you got to say about Trump, hate him, love him, he's fake, whatever. We have never seen this kind of, since a guy got an inauguration until, you know, from then on, we have never seen this kind of just insanity like we've seen. So I view that as something's afoot here, to where a lot of the people that have normally been in control do not like it. And the way that people like John Brennan and others have basically lost any professional demeanor and to go after this guy, we've never seen that.
Yeah. Thank you, Robert.
Thank
Take
you.
Care.
All right. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Everybody, appreciate you listening, all the callers. It was a good show, and I didn't get to a lot of stuff, so I'll try to get some of it next week. Ken, thank you for putting up with me for another week, and support RBN.
You still carry on the things that we believe. One day you suddenly, they take my life away.
of the Lord.